There we go. Edit that part out when the show actually broadcasts live here. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning and 12:38. Time to eat. Welcome into Food Time, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show, the All Things Edible program. Heard every Sunday at this time in our Food Time show this week. Sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurant, Chicago and out in Lombard. Always love when we find a great new cookbook to tell you about, and I think we've got a great one for you this week. As I was explaining to its author a moment ago, Anna Thomas, in doing this show for so many years, whatever topic we get into, inevitably we get calls, we get emails, we get texts, we get all kinds of response going, yeah, I love that topic, but I have someone coming over who is vegan. Can you offer me an alternative for that, especially around holiday time? That's all we get, calls. Yeah, I've got somebody that's going to be coming over for Thanksgiving who is vegetarian, who is gluten-free, who has a nut allergy. We've heard it all. We've heard it all. And now there's a new cookbook that includes everyone in it. The book is called Vegan, Vegetarian, Omnivore, Dinner for Everyone at the Table. Anna Thomas, welcome to the show. Nice to have you
here. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
It's our pleasure to have you here. So from where did you get this brilliant idea? So obvious, but seriously, I don't think anyone has ever approached such a practical idea.
Well, I thank you. And thank you for saying it's practical, because that really is my goal, is to just offer people a little help in trying to figure this out. You know, that experience that you were just describing about people call and say, you know, I have this one coming over, that I get that all the time.
Yeah.
Only people who know that I write about food, I get it in a slightly more desperate way. Like they clutch at my arm.
Help me.
And they say, I don't know what to do, yeah, because this one won't eat this and that one won't eat that. And I'm supposed to have Thanksgiving and I'm just going to give up.
Yeah.
And I'm saying,
and I imagine people who are hosting the events, they get the same thing. It's like,
yeah,
I'm having the whole family over, but I don't know what to do with Aunt Mabel.
Yeah, and so they want to give up. They want to just not have Thanksgiving or not have a dinner party. People literally have told me, I'm afraid to have people over for dinner anymore. It's just not, it's too difficult, and I try to figure it out, and people eat all different ways. And I thought, this is really not good. Because if we stop being able to sit down and have dinner together, I'm sorry, but civilization is in trouble. If we can't sit down and break bread and eat a meal together and share food, that's bad news. So I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, there's got to be a way to approach this and to do this. Now, I grew up, like I'm sure you did, in a very meat-centric food culture.
Sure.
You know, I grew up in the Midwest, actually, in a Polish family, and it was always meat in the middle and something on the side, a vegetable and a grain, whatever. And that sort of becomes our default position.
Right.
And there are people who, you know, the ones that you're talking about, who try to do that and provide a quote-unquote alternative. But, you know, that's a complicated thing to do because, you know, right away, you're taking something away, you're substituting, you're compromising something. I thought there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
And I thought, we're doing this backwards. Why don't we just start with the food everybody eats?
Right.
Let's start with what everybody eats, which is the entire wide universe of food based on plants. Start there. Build something delicious and beautiful there. But don't stop there. Elaborate. Add things in ever wider circles, you know?
Well, you know what else I like about this is that they are, you know, I picked a couple of recipes out that I want to try myself. But they look like really easy recipes to do.
Well, I'm a home cook.
And I don't mean like, you know, simple, you know, not very much to the recipe.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to spend all day cooking it. It's something which is easily doable. If you happen to be a working person, you've got other things to do. You've got kids. You've got a million other things going on.
I'm a working person.
Right?
Yeah. Believe me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very true. I'm a home cook. I'm not a chef. I've never worked. I've never had a restaurant. I've never worked professionally as a cook. So all of my cooking is home cooking, and that's what I'm familiar with. And it's not that there aren't beautiful and delicious and wonderful recipes. There are, but they are doable with the techniques that pretty much anybody who has done a little bit of cooking already knows, yeah. already is familiar with, and in any home kitchen. So it's not an overcomplicated thing. It's just a different way of approaching it. You know, start with the food everyone eats and build out from there to include everyone, because that was really what I wanted to talk about in this book. I've written 5 cookbooks now. The first 4 are all vegetarian cookbooks. I really have a reputation, you know, for vegetarian cooking, and people expect that from me. And it is very important to me what I put on the table, and it is true that vegetarian food is my favorite. But something is more important than any of that, and that is who is at the table. And I want to invite everyone. Yeah. I want to be able to invite everyone and have everyone feel welcome at my table, comfortable at my table. Nobody feel sidelined.
Yeah.
And nobody feel guilty. Nobody feel weirdly judged. That's just as important to me. And that's
That lets my family out.
But that's what I'm addressing in this book. Let's all sit down and have dinner together, can we please?
Well, I mean, that's sort of like an overriding sense that I got, browsing through the book, is that it feels very inclusive. It feels very welcoming. Not like, oh boy, now I got to come up with, I have a vegan cousin who's coming over, you know, something.
We're not going to have separate sections at the table. Yeah. That's my idea. It's not going to be like I have this meal and then I have this other version over here. Because as soon as you do that, you know, there's an A meal and a B meal. And nobody wants to be eating
the B meal. That's right. Everyone wants the A meal.
That's
exactly.
That's right.
We're going to go through some of the examples when we come back after a quick break. The brand new book is called Vegan Vegetarian Omnivore, Dinner for Everyone at the Table. Anna Thomas is here, a brand new cookbook out, Vegan Vegetarian Omnivore. As I was telling you, Anna, I was just browsing through the book. And as luck would have it, like the first page that I, opened, just browsing, is your black bean chili, two ways, one with turkey.
Yeah,
and
our
weather's going to get a little chillier this week, 60 degrees this week.
It is, and I'm going to be very jealous because I'm going to be back in California.
Oh, poor you, having to go back to the warmth of California. But I mean, I am so making this chili this week.
It's a great dish, a very easy dish to do for this two-way idea.
What's the other way besides turkey?
Well, you make the black bean chili, does not need turkey in it. It's a delicious dish made with black beans and onions and chilies that you roast. And, it's a wonderful sort of semi-spicy, hearty chili that you can have with a piece of cornbread, or you can have with some rice or a pilaf, and it's a great center for an easy kind of, you want to gather a few friends around and maybe add a salad or something, and there you go, you're done. You know, one of those very easy type of dinners. But if you have people who eat in different ways, you make a big pot of black bean chili, you separate it into 2 pots, and you add some sautéed turkey to the pot number 2 there, and you're all set.
Are you putting ground turkey or like actual turkey chunks?
I usually do not buy ground turkey. I usually, when I do this, I buy turkey and chop it up. And, you know, I get a little more texture that way, and also, you know what you're getting. When you're buying ground meat, I'm never sure.
Right.
So I buy it, I chop it up, I saute it with more cumin and more chili and, get a lot of spice in there. I like flavor, I'll tell you. My recipes, they're not shy.
Yeah.
I like flavor.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely delicious. So let's talk, there was a pork tenderloin recipe that you have in there also. That's going to be a must try because I think that's so easy. Pork tenderloin.
So easy,
so delicious, and so low in fat, healthy, delicious,
too. Yeah, and it's one of those things that is a great one to have as an add-on to something. Like when I make my red quinoa pilaf, I love centering a meal on one of these hearty pilafs, one of these very robust pilafs made with grains that are high in flavor and high in protein and texture. And quinoa is one of those. I love to make this pilaf with pumpkin seeds and potatoes in it and the quinoa, and then have some maybe some roasted or stewed vegetables. And then for those people who want a slice of that pork tenderloin, it goes perfectly with everything else. But you don't have to have that in order to have a complete meal. And that's the idea of how these things work together. And I try to give people a little roadmap, a little pathway. Yeah. This is how you can do it. Everybody can be eating the same meal, but a different version of it if they want to.
Great example of there's not an A meal and a B meal.
There's not an A meal and a B meal.
It's all one, and you just pick whatever you want from it.
Yeah.
What about pure vegan? What are some of your favorite recipes in the book for
pure vegan? The recipes in the book begin as vegan recipes, except for that small section of the fish and fowl and meat recipes that are the ones that really, and I keep them very simple deliberately because they're not meant to be the center. And also there are 10 million books already that are meat centric and I don't need to add another one, but they're the things that you can add. But all of these, all my pilafs, all the soups, all these wonderful sort of hearty center of the plate salads.
What's your favorite pilaf? Somebody wanted to do a nice pilaf today.
I think my favorite, it's a pretty simple one. My favorite is farro and black rice with caramelized onions.
Wow.
You know, I think I mentioned I'm Polish. So caramelized onions for me are like, you know, the go-to thing for everything.
Sure.
Yeah, you make a big pan of beautifully, richly caramelized onions. The whole house smells incredible. And you just add that to anything. And, you know, it makes it better. But I cook farro, whole grain farro, and I cook up some black rice. I cook them separately so the farro doesn't get purple. and then I mix them together with some caramelized onions, a little bit of thyme. It's very simple. There's not much to it, but it's delicious. And it really is a center of the plate kind of thing. In the summer, you can have it with a beautiful, I make a really nice grilled ratatouille. I make a ratatouille that is a vegan dish, of course, where you grill all those vegetables instead of stewing them in a pan.
Yeah.
And then you put them together and even the tomatoes have been grilled, but then they turn kind of all juicy and squishy and make a kind of a sauce on everything.
Yeah.
And I have this pilaf with that grilled ratatouille. That's a great meal already. But anything else that you're having on the grill, if you want to grill something else, if you want to grill some lamb or if you want to grill, you know, some chicken or something, you can add a slice of that for the people who want it. And there you go, another one of those kind of meals.
Yeah.
That's my favorite pilaf, I think.
It sounds amazingly delicious. And as you're describing it, you know, I'm thinking, well, maybe I would throw some pumpkin seeds in there. Or maybe
you can do whatever you want. That's the great thing.
Throw a little something and you modify to your own taste.
It's like a canvas. Start with that.
But, you know, to be nutritionally based, though, David, your protein source in that one is the farro. Is that right?
Well, but, a lot of things
have
protein in them. Yes. Whole grains are typically very high in protein. Quinoa is a great protein source. Whole grain farro is a very good protein source. And, you know, people don't realize that these things provide a lot of protein. And vegetables, a lot of vegetables have protein too. It's just that you're getting a little from here, a little from there, a little from something else. And when you put it all together, you've got a really substantial meal as well as a delicious meal. And I do pay attention to that because I know that's important.
Yeah. There are so many amazing recipes and so little time to talk about it. You have to check out the new book that is called Vegan Vegetarian Omnivore, Dinner for Everyone at the Table, and it's written by Anna Thomas. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you so much for the great book.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm starving now after talking about this.
Well, let's eat.